morning. My presentation today will be a lot more descriptive in nature, and just basically it's an idea of what sort of characteristics do people have when they come into an emergency room. I have no relationships or financial conflicts to disclose. But basically, the reason for this is because in the United States and Canada, there's extensive information about who's coming into an emergency room and what do these people look like and who is drinking prior to an injury. And we know a lot about this in high-income countries. However, there's a lack of information in the Latin American and Caribbean countries. And this is particularly concerning because about a third of the population in the Latin American and Caribbean countries fall between the ages of 10 and 29. And we know that the late teens, early 20s are critical ages for initiation of alcohol use. However, we don't really know a whole lot about who's coming into the emergency room in many of these countries and how injury is related to alcohol use or alcohol use related to injury. Also, in the Latin American and Caribbean countries, we know that about 17% of the global burden of disease is attributed to this area, yet only about 3% of the alcohol-related research occurs in this area. So the variables of interest that I used were the gross national index, and this is an indices from the World Bank indicators, and basically they look at gross domestic product, imports, exports, as well as personal income to devise a level of income for various countries. And there are four different levels. We'll be using three for this comparison. We have our drinking variables, the current drinkers, people who have used alcohol in the past 12 months, and also drinking by self-report in the 6 hours prior to the injury. Now, the demographics we use are really very simple. We're using age, gender, education, and full-time employment. Here's a breakdown of our countries by income. We didn't have any countries that were actually in the low income bracket based upon the World Bank indices. However, we did have the lower middle income countries of Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Guyana. Our high income countries, about a third of the sample were the US and Canada, and then half of our sample came from the upper middle income categories. That's Argentina, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Mexico, and Panama. So basically what I'm going to do is just show you some percentages of what the characteristics of injury patients are looking like coming into the emergency departments. And these are all patients. We'll start with the lower middle income countries. As you can see, about 60% are current drinkers. And we have about, can't see that very well, but it's about 21% who drank alcohol in the 6 hours prior to the injury. Predominantly male and largely under the age of 30. College education is somewhat low, and about 74% employed full-time. And if we look at the upper middle income countries, you can see that the current drinker status bumps up to about 71%, although the percentage that drank in the 6 hours prior remains at about 20%, very similar. And it looks very similar across the other demographics. Now, the high-income countries, you can see, yet again, the current drinker status goes up. So we have about 81% who've had at least one drink in the past year. Yet the percentage that drank alcohol in the 6 hours prior remains steady, about 19%. And really, the only demographic that's a very big difference is college education. And patients in the U.S. and Canada, largely about half, report having had any college education. So these are the characteristics of all of our patients, and what we did was we ran some logistic regression models predicting alcohol use prior to injury, and just to see what demographics predicted for each income level. So what you see here are three different logistic regression models. We have the lower middle income, upper middle income, and the high income countries. The numbers in yellow are the total patient sample, and the ones in orange are the current drinkers. And one of the things you'll notice is that, I only put in the significant numbers. If they weren't significant, I didn't put it in. The one thing you'll notice is that gender is highly predictive. And I did a little graphic here so you can have a look at it. And as you can see from the left side, the white circle is the high-income countries, and virtually all the demographics are predictive of alcohol use prior to the injury. However, it varies depending on economic level of the country, economic prosperity. So to the right, you'll see the upper middle income, where only age and gender are predictive, and the lower middle income, where education and gender. So the only place they really overlap entirely is on gender. Now, this is for all patients. I also ran models for the current drinkers. And interestingly, age falls out. Age is not a significant predictor of having used alcohol prior to the injury. So I also did, just to show you more percentages, this broken down by gender, men and women. So we'll start with our lower middle income countries. And one of the things you'll notice, particularly for the lower middle income countries, is that men tend to be current drinkers. And the women, only about a third of the women were current drinkers. And you can also see how this relates to alcohol use prior to the injury. We only have like 5% who used alcohol prior to the injury. Still largely under the age of 30, and men tend to have more full-time employment than the women. Now, the upper middle income countries, once again, what you see is the jump in the current drinker status, and particularly what you see here are the women. Jump. There's a 51% who are current drinkers. And you see a tiny tick up there where there's 8% who actually used alcohol prior to the injury. The rest of the demographics look fairly similar. Now, looking at the high-income countries, once again, you see the current drinker status goes up, women particularly, and we also see that women in the high-income countries, about 12%, report alcohol use prior to their injury. And once again, you still see that the education level is very high for both men and women in the high-income countries, and women in the high-income countries tended to have more full-time employment. So I also ran logistic regression models by gender, by male and female, but I won't go through that with you, but I will say that age falls out for men, that age was not predictive in any of the income levels, and education falls out for women. It's not predictive of having used alcohol prior to the injury. And we did one last analysis where we were kind of curious about whether it mattered by how the countries compared by economic prosperity and whether that predicted alcohol use prior to the injury. So we ran some logistic regression models, and what we did is we controlled for demographics, and then using the high-income country as a reference group, we said, well, do the lower middle income and higher income and lower middle income and middle income countries, the upper middle income countries, do they differ? And basically what you see here are six different logistic regression models. We have, for the total sample of men, current drinkers of men, did the same for women, and then for the total sample. And the story here, basically, is that when you consider all injury patients coming into the emergency department by country-level income for the men, they really don't differ from one another. The lower middle income and the upper middle income do not differ from the high income. However, if you select for the current drinkers, the lower middle income countries and the upper middle income countries are significantly more likely to have used alcohol prior to the injury. And for the women, it's kind of the reverse is true. For the total sample of women, and as we could see from the percentages, the women who were current drinkers was really very low in the lower middle income countries and somewhat low for the upper middle income. So we see that they are significantly less likely to have used alcohol prior to the injury. However, when you select for the current drinkers, the women who are only current drinkers, there's really no difference from the high-income countries. So in summary, what we found was that men were more likely to present to the ER and to report drinking prior to the injury, regardless of country-level prosperity. That was the one thing that was predictive across all three. And age was not a significant predictor for current drinkers. And we found that women who were current drinkers, it really didn't matter by country level prosperity whether they had been drinking prior to the injury. And for men, it did. If you were a current drinker and you came from a lower middle income country or upper middle, you were more likely to have had alcohol prior to the injury. In concluding, I didn't really do a limitations page because it's pretty obvious. I only looked at demographic predictors, so there's a lot of limitations and things. And the idea was really just to get a snapshot of what patients look like coming into these emergency departments. But in terms of policymakers and healthcare interventionists, what they need to do is to evaluate research rather cautiously, because the majority of the research is coming from these high-income countries, and it may not actually pertain to their area of the world. And I wanted to make one point, and these were two risk factors. Yu-Yi touched on this as well, but generally speaking, when we think about more prosperity, we know that there's more drinking. We could see that in the current drinker status of these countries. And it allows for more opportunity for injury, for alcohol use and in relation to injury. However, when there's less prosperity in a country, what you tend to have is an unregulated alcohol market. And by this I mean you can drink anytime, anywhere, alcohol is relatively cheap, marketing is rampant. These are things that can also be a risk factor for injury due to alcohol use. And we kind of see this a little bit with the men who are current drinkers, and that in the lower income countries and the middle income countries, they were more likely to have been drinking prior to the injury. Also, you saw higher prevalence with the less restrictive alcohol policies. Yeah. So development of policies, development of interventions, they need to go together. So interventions for the individual, but also alcohol policies that help control the alcohol market are needed so that public health is protected. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. We have time for questions, and you were so quick. Any questions for Rachel? Yes.
That's basically true. It's when you think about like Mexico, like a country like Mexico, remember I said that they had a higher detrimental drinking pattern index, but that was derived from the total sample, which predominantly affected by men. And you think about the Mexican women, if you kind of others rank all the women's across the world, Mexican women may not drink at that, detrimentally. But interesting thing is this, when you look at overall sample, you look at overall effect. And that, since you think about overall effect, that the alcohol-related injury is dominated also by men as well. So in that case, that's why DDP dominated by men, predict the whole injury is done by men. But the thing is that, I think it makes perfect sense if you look at the gender specific analysis, it doesn't work, it won't work.
And I think too in the hospital, the lack of doing surveys in Latin America related to alcohol involvement in the hospital, where the behavior is so normative, it may not be striking them so much as a concern because they're about the children. On the one hand, it was great, the whole family was partying together. On the other hand, the children are there, you know, with the alcohol. So it's like, I mean, the pictures were very enjoyable.
Do you have a comment, Rachel? Okay. Thank you for your observations. It's always helpful when we're looking at our data.